Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director at League of Education Voters. In this podcast, we interview policymakers, partners, and thought leaders to spotlight education policies, research, and practices so that together we can create a brighter future for every Washington student. Governor Jay Inslee is a fifth-generation Washingtonian who has lived and worked on both sides of the Cascades. He grew up in the Seattle area where his father, Frank, was a high school teacher and coach. His mother worked as a sales clerk at Sears and Roebuck. Jay worked his way through college and graduated from the University of Washington with a degree in economics before earning his law degree at Willamette University. He and his wife, Trudy, then moved to Selah, a small town near Yakima, where they raised their three sons. Jay worked as an attorney and prosecutor. Jay and Trudy are now proud grandparents to three grandkids. Besides writing and illustrating books for his grandchildren and sketching scenes from around Washington, Jay is an avid cyclist and charter member of Hoopaholics, a youth basketball academy. Jay first became involved in public service in 1985, when he and Trudy helped lead the effort to build a new public high school in Selah. Motivated to fight against proposed funding cuts for rural schools, Jay went on to represent the 14th Legislative District in the House of Representatives. He continued serving communities in the Yakima Valley when he was elected to Congress in 1992. The Inslees later moved back to the Puget Sound area, where Jay was elected to Congress in 1998, serving until 2012 when he was elected governor. He was reelected in 2016. Congratulations on your new budget, by the way. I know it's a lot of work putting that together.
Thank you, and thanks for your support. I know you're going to urge legislators to vote for my budget. The whole league will stand behind it, and great things will happen for our kids.
I like the way you think. What do you see as the biggest challenge in education, from pre-K through higher education? And how do you see it being addressed in your budget proposal?
Well, there are so many challenges and so many promises, and both are important. The most immediate challenge is making sure that we actually fulfill the McCleary promise of last year to make sure that we continue that funding that was promised to our children. And that's about a $4 billion lift in this biennium, because this is the first full biennium of the McCleary proposal. So we've got to make sure that that happens, and that's not cheap. That's a $4 billion item. So basically covering the check that legislators wrote last year is the first priority this year to make sure we continue down that track. But then there's just, when I think about it, the things that I think we can accomplish this year are really exciting because they go from birth to 100. And if I can just kind of go through those quickly, you know, we want to start something to help families really early, because we don't believe poverty should be destiny. And right now, poverty is destiny for too many kids. Too many kids, because of where the zip code you are born in determines your destiny.
Right.
We want to break that cycle. And we're starting really early. So one of the things we're proposing is a very early effort to help parents learn some parenting skills and have some support beginning on day one for kids. And this is shown to be successful. Trudy was visiting a program like this on the Olympic Peninsula here a few weeks ago, and so we're excited about that.
So this is home visiting that you're talking about?
Yes, it's a home visiting program. Some people haven't been lucky to have parents to teach them things in their life, so they could use a little assistance to pass it on to their kids. So this has been shown to be really effective. Then we want to increase and continue the development of really high-quality early child education. And we stress high quality because that's where the statistics show that you have a lasting impact that goes throughout the student's life if it's high-quality early child education. So we're both improving quality, and we're expanding access, financing in my budget about, I think it's about 2,400 students in more students into early
childhood. So this is the Early Childhood Education Assistance Program, ECAP?
Yeah, we just want to expand it. But again, I want to emphasize, we want to maintain and increase quality, and Ross Hunter is doing a good job on that. Mm-hmm. Then when our kids get to kindergarten and all the way through high school, I believe the single most important thing in education is a highly qualified teacher who's given the resources that he or she needs. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm actually very pleased that we've been able to increase compensation for teachers in a variety of ways that fit the needs and abilities of local districts, mm-hmm. because we have to retain talent. This is a talent-dependent profession. My brother's a retired art teacher, and I still meet a lot of students that he helped make sure they graduated because he had a really good way with kids. They really liked him. Mm-hmm. Having teachers that have that capability, I think, is absolutely fundamental. So making sure we continue the ability to finance that significant improvement in compensation that we won in a lot of places, I think that that's very important. A very exciting program we have is to try to give students a whole new channel of career success. I have believed we have made a mistake over the decades, and I mean we, meaning maybe including me, of creating this impression of telling our young people that if you don't get a four-year college degree, you're a failure. Mm-hmm. That's just wrong. It's wrong for a lot of reasons. Personally, it's wrong for their future. It's wrong for our economy because we demand so many jobs that do require some advanced skills that may not be best getting them in a four-year or even two-year college environment. So we want to create a whole new avenue of career-connected learning, and we call this the Career-Connected Learning Program, mm-hmm. to basically have ways for students to have work experience, on-the-job training, get registered apprenticeships, and other career certificates so that they can come out of that experience that may not involve actually an academic experience in a college, but can give them a work experience and a connection to an employer to build whole new careers. And we've seen this in Switzerland, where 70% of the kids are in paid apprenticeships. As a result, they have very, very low unemployment rates for young people in Switzerland. And you can fill all these new jobs in advanced manufacturing, mm-hmm. healthcare, computer coding. We've had the first computer coding apprenticeship program in the country, actually.
Really?
Yeah, we've got one of the first advanced manufacturing apprenticeship programs. So this is creating a whole new avenue for success. Mm-hmm. We want to do this in a way that the Swiss call this having their program braided. That means kids can start in an apprenticeship and then go to a four-year program, or start a four-year program and then go to an apprenticeship. In fact, the president of the kind of MIT of Switzerland started an apprenticeship program. So we're really excited about that. Mm-hmm. When we get to the post-secondary, we still have kids that are having extreme debt difficulty. Financing higher ed. So we are going to, for the first time in the state history, guarantee students that meet the need standards will have the scholarship and what we call the Washington Promise Program mm-hmm. to be able to afford college. This will be the first time we're going to do this. We have a very robust, comprehensive plan now, but we haven't provided it for enough students.
Yep.
So this will guarantee students that if they qualify financially, they're going to get financial aid and be able to finance college. And I'm very excited about that. Knowing what student debt does to so many students. Now, I want to come back to where we started, though, because dependent on all of this throughout this system and the K-12 system, it is dependent about that $4 billion to yeah. finance all of the things we need to do, increasing STEM, mm-hmm. increasing counselors. We're basically proposing additional program to provide additional guidance counselors to try to improve graduation rates. Mm-hmm. We have found that when we have targeted people, professionals in the building that can really focus on graduation rates, this will really help a lot of kids who otherwise may not be able to graduate.
Yep.
We also are financing increases in special ed. We know that special ed teachers sit in heaven closest to the right hand of the Creator.
Yes.
And that's how Trudy and I think about special ed teachers. Mm-hmm. So we've got about $140 million of additional funds to help improve financing for the special ed programs across the state. So this is a lot of great ideas.
Yep.
We know they work. These are things that we know produce better results. They're doing it in various parts of the state. We just need to finance it. So we intend to do so.
Excellent. Well, you mind if we drill in a little bit on the special ed?
Yeah.
Great. Well, special education, of course, was a focus, as you just described, including a change in the funding formula. Could you speak a little bit about what you hope to achieve with the funding changes?
Well, one is just kind of on a scale. We're pumping more money into the special ed system because we know there have been concerns about that, particularly with the levy lid, which has put limits on local communities that a lot of the special ed community would end up them getting cut.
Yep.
So we've increased the general fund, I think, by about $51 million on top of the $340 we did last biennium. But we've also put an additional $94 million in to phase in a new method of targeting some of the special ed. It gives a little more, targeting is the best language I can use, to target the money to the kids who really need. The superintendent suggested this, so we're financing a proposal he made in that regard. We know how critical this is. You know, I've had a special ed student who's now blossoming because he got assistance, and I've seen grandkids get it, so this is really miracles that can happen if kids, particularly early, get the special ed help. So I'm a real believer in this. Now, the other thing we didn't talk about yet is I believe we need to lift some of these levy lids as well that were lower last time. And that's important in special ed to be able to help communities finance special ed, band, arts, computer coding, apprenticeships, you name it. I think we should lift that lid and go back to the old ceiling that we had that would allow local communities to be able to respond to their local destiny.
And one way that we look at it, too, is maybe lifting the local effort assistance. So at least we got equalization of $2,500 per student across the state. That's one thing that we're looking at.
Well, we're happy to look at ideas.
Yeah, which is great. On special ed, too, how do you envision the role of paraeducators in special ed?
Well, I think that they've been extremely important. I've seen it in many, many classrooms, and it's been just such a force multiplier in the classroom. We obviously want to continue ways to provide further education for our paraprofessionals in the classroom. In any way that we can do that, we will. Mm-hmm. I suspect that some of these special ed dollars may be able to help in this regard. We haven't proscribed that. I don't believe in our budget has done anything prescriptive. But what I would say is I've seen real value, and we always want to help people improve their capabilities.
Well, let's turn to student supports for a sec. Your budget calls for an increased focus on student mental health and social-emotional well-being through increased staffing for counselors, nurses, and psychologists. Why do you think that focusing on student well-being is important?
Well, a variety of reasons. One, you know, I think our students are experiencing more challenges in the mental health realm. It's a challenging world. They deal in an internet ecosystem now that creates a lot of anxiety in young people, and helping them deal with that is important in general. We know that it's a safety issue as well. Some of the violence in our schools, we think that this can be an anti-violence measure to help identify students who might have mm-hmm. some proclivities that are dangerous to them or others. It's an effort to take a meaningful approach to preventing some of the huge traumas that we've experienced in our schools. Mm-hmm. And it's helpful on the suicide front as well. We know that our hearts just break when we hear a young person who's taken their own life. And to be able to help people, you know, you think about a 17-year-old, if you can help them through a 30-minute crisis, so they've got another 70 years of life, that's a pretty good thing. So for a variety of reasons. Now, we also come back to this issue that if you want to improve graduation rates, this is absolutely pivotal to this. And mm-hmm. the reason I believe this is my dad was a counselor. He was a teacher and coach and counselor. And I've heard quite a number of stories about how he helped people really get on track and understand that they have value and they've got a career. I mean, I remember talking to a 7-year-old guy who was coming out of a campaign meeting. He came out and he said, "Hey, was Frank Inslee your dad?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, let me tell you, I was about ready to drop out at South High School one day and walking down the hall and your dad came up and gently pushed me up against the lockers and mm-hmm. said, "Hey, John, you got something on the ball. You're not showing. Something's going on in your life. I don't know what it is, but mm-hmm. come on in at 8 o'clock tomorrow and let's figure it out because you have a lot of talent." And this guy says, literally, a little light bulb went off. He says, "Hey, I have somebody who believes in me, and I was going through a real problem. My mother was sick. I was going to drop out." Mm-hmm. And he went on and graduated and had a great career working for a labor union. When you hear those stories, you understand the importance of that relationship between an adult who can focus on that individual child instead of 30 kids. You know, when you got 30 kids out there, that's pretty daunting.
Yep.
But a guidance counselor can have a more one-on-one relationship with a student, and that can make all the difference. So we're happy to have that in our budget.
How do you see the new investment in counselors and nurses being implemented?
With our budget. So hopefully this budget will pass. You know, there's a lot of flexibility in the local community how they use these dollars. You know, and we focus some of this on the higher poverty schools and some of our dollars. And I think that's a smart targeting issue. Hopefully you can extend that to all schools at a later date. But we've targeted this in a place where there really is the greatest need right now. But how they do it, what mixture they have of counselors or nurses or psychologists, that's largely left to the discretion of the locals.
All right, last question. For the first time in Washington's history, you hope to fully fund the state need grant. And you also dedicated some funding to programming and student supports for higher education. That seems to be a bit of a shift for how the state funds higher education. Can you speak about the importance of these two proposals and how they relate to each other?
The obvious part is to really fulfill the state need grant, make sure that promise is fulfilled. Mm-hmm. You just hate to think that you've got intellectual talent that just because they can't make a tuition payment, can't get out of that cycle of poverty. And so this is very important for obvious reasons. The non-obvious thing we've done is to provide some of these support services to help some of these students because we still have a non-graduation rate in our colleges that's way, way too high. And it's because these students, you know, they've got challenges in life with rent and jobs and family matters, and just providing some counseling support where we've been able to do this can help increase the graduation rate, which we really want to do. Because if we're helping these students for a year, we don't want to lose that year. We want them to go on and graduate. So we've seen this work in other places. It's a fairly small investment, but we think can help a lot.
What can we do to help?
You can find an educator and thank them. And I think this is an important thing all of us can do. These people make so much difference in kids' lives. They work hard. We should say thank to them. I'm saying publicly thank you to Mrs. Pellegrino, who is my granddaughter's teacher at Wilkes Elementary School in Bainbridge Island. My little Zoe came home. I saw her last weekend. I was asking how school was going. She said, well, it's just great. She said, in fact, I want to write a book. And I said, okay, let's write a book. So I made a little book so she could write in it. And I said, well, what are you going to write about? And she said, well, Mrs. Pellegrino tells us every good story has a tension or a challenge involved in it. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to think about who my character is and what the tension will be. So here you have a young child learning literature techniques. At that age, it's pretty stunning. Thank you, Mrs. Pellegrino, in Wilkes Elementary School.
Jay Inslee is the governor of Washington State. Governor Inslee, thank you so much for letting me drop by.
Thank you. Good luck.
And thank you for listening. To learn more about League of Education Voters or to support our work, please visit educationvoters.org.